Hello and welcome to Talk Star Wars. I'm your host, Rob.
And I'm Brad.
You're also a host. I don't know why I do host. I think I'm in emotionally 14 mode.
That's fine. Yeah. So am I.
Yeah. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good. Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of pollen this week.
No, I've had it a little bit worse than usual, but not as bad as you from the conversations we've had off air. It's you seem to be suffering quite a bit.
Yeah, well, one of my eyes closed up the other day. That's fun.
That's not ideal. Yeah, yeah, I think that's less than optimum for most eyes.
Yeah, I hate pollen.
Yeah, and when I saw you the other day...
it's rough and it's coarse. It gets everywhere.
It really does. It really does. It's horrible. But, you know, at the same time, it gives us an opportunity to work quotes in, which is always nice.
Well, we manage without it, but...
We would, but...
The gateway's always welcome.
Exactly. And also, let's be fair, we'd find a way.
Yeah.
Life finds
a way. That's what we do. See, just like that.
There you go. See? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like that is a Tommy Cooper one as well. So there you go. Right, so before we move into reviews and listener comments and stuff, I just want to say a couple of quick thank yous. So a couple of messages behind the scenes have found their way to me. I'll share them with you off air, Brad. But thank you, first of all, to Adam Kay, not just because he wrote questions in, which we're going to come to later, but he sent through some really lovely stuff behind the scenes. He's a new listener, and he's clearly kind of really... loving what he hears, so that's always nice.
Good.
And he was kind enough also to make a contribution to our running costs as well, so that is always appreciated, and we're very grateful for that. So thank you, Adam. Also thank you to Derek, who's not in the show notes, but he is worthy of a mention.
Cheers.
Again, he sent us a lovely email behind the scenes, and Talk Star Wars has actually inspired him to start his own podcast. Called Afro Pop Mix. It's a music and history
podcast.
It's
called Chat Star Wars.
It's Banter Star Galactica. it's called Afro Pop Remix, and it's a music and history podcast.
Oh, cool.
And I heard the first episode because you mentioned that I should listen to it because we got a shout out in there. And I'll tell you what, his voice is just, it's made for radio. It's just so smooth. I could just listen to him. I could listen to him talk about literally anything.
Yeah, send me a link over there.
I will most certainly do so. So thank you, guys. Much appreciated for those. And thank you to Adam Starr as well, who's our Toy Box host extraordinaire, who was kind enough to write us a review on iTunes. So did you want to read that one?
Which is the subject line is just the best Star Wars podcast. See, it's in writing now.
Yep. This is it.
This is Talk Star Wars, the best Star Wars talk podcast in the galaxy. That's some serious competition.
It really is.
Loving the show, guys, and conversations between yourself, Rob, and Brad. And thank you for making this podcast every week so enjoyable.
Oh,
yeah. I've listened since episode 3.
That's pre-Rob. Those are the days before Rob. I was episode 13.
I wasn't sure if you meant Revenge of the Sith.
Well, also possibly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best wishes and love to all VIPs and the Commonwealth podcasters and listeners from Adam S., Knight of the Commonwealth, TSW VIP, TSW Toy Box, and Retro Inc. podcaster. Please give a shout out to another great podcast, Retro Inc. podcast, by two great guys and TSW's VIPs, Andy and myself. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Adam. So very kind of you to leave that for us. And, yeah, I will echo the shout-out that has been read out there. The Retro Inc. podcast is well worth a listen. It's available on all good podcatchers and the Apple one as well, so that's always nice.
I'm just going to say, if anyone is thinking, Inc. is I-N-C, because the first couple of times I'd heard I-N-K.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. That's a good one to clarify, actually. Yeah, so it's Retro Inc. as in incorporated, like... You know, that old wrestling tag team from the 90s with the Million Dollar Man and Erwin Ashraf.
That's the example that comes to mind first, why not?
Clearly, because that's what I've gone for.
Sure.
All right,
off to a good start.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. Always appreciated. And as I say, thank you to Adam Kay for the questions that are coming and the other bits I mentioned. And thank you to Derek for the shout out in the first episode of Afro Pop Mix. So,
cheers, guys.
Listener comms. So our first is from Vesuvi.
Of course.
Who is ever present and ever excellent. Vesuvi writes, thanks, Rob. Thanks, Brad. In your discussions mentioning the Hutts, that was last week.
It was.
I wanted to add that Nima Outpost in The Force Awakens was named after Nima the Hutt.
And I did not know that.
No, me neither. This is news to me as well. So the more you know theme would normally play out here if I was technically equipped to do so.
If we were American and knew what it meant. Yeah,
indeed. Or even if I had any sort of nothing but qualms
skill.
About... Yeah. Well, there's that too. Yeah. And any
it's going to be a fun one tonight.
And any non-qualms about... what's the opposite of qualms? Psalms.
Yeah,
any Psalms about copyrighted material, because I'm not sure how that would work. But in checking Wikipedia to make sure I was spelling Nima correctly, I discovered Jabba's full name was Jabba Desilajit Teore.
I didn't know that.
And the female hut scene in The Phantom Menace was indeed Gardula, the former owner of Shmi and Anakin. Owner of Shmi and Anakin Skywalker. Her full name was Gardula Bizadi the Elder. You're on your own with pronunciations. Thanks for that.
I think you did very well.
I had a go, didn't I? By the way, as of today, which is June 19th, so obviously it's a couple of days before the show, Solo has nudged ahead of A Quiet Place and currently enjoys the fourth highest box office position of all 2018 movies, earning over $340.8 million worldwide and counting. We'll see within a few days if Incredibles 2 changes the ranking.
I think
it's very, very likely.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if between that and Ocean's 8, it might bump a couple down the list.
Mm.
Quiet Place might drop out of that top five as well. It has to, doesn't it, now?
Was a surprise, to be honest with you. And I think even everyone involved in A Quiet Place was surprised.
Well, I'm glad it's doing well.
As I said, Horace Huge at the moment, the same thing's happening with Hereditary at the moment. That's really snowballing.
Yes, I've heard that, sir. I've heard it very good things about it. But I've also heard a lot of them in the context of those, you know, those adverts they do where they interview people afterwards and they're like, it's so scary.
That is one thing that ever stopped will guarantee I won't see a horror movie at the cinema.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all the trailer is.
Yeah. If it's just, oh, I can't believe how scary that was. Like, really? I bet I can.
Yeah.
With admiration, Vesuvi. Well, thank you very much for that, Vesuvi. It's very useful to get these numbers to kind of get a sense of where Solo sits. Because actually, it's interesting, isn't it? Because when they talk about Solo as kind of a flop, in quotes, it's the fourth highest grossing movie of the year. And there's not, you know, we've had a lot of movies. It could have done a lot worse than that, realistically.
Yeah, I think it's... Solo's done fine.
Yeah.
But we expect better from a Star Wars movie.
I think that's it, yeah. I think we've kind of, you know, Tim at the Nerd Room has made a comparison with the Wave 2 Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I take his point. I think he's right in the sense that that's the way we could frame it. But at the same time, the Wave 2 Marvel stuff, the series have been going for quite a while before that started to, the numbers started to drop off to that degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like if you heard Metallica played Wembley and filled it to 75% capacity, you'd be like, yeah, that is pretty good, but at the same time, it's Metallica, they should pull a crowd anywhere they can, any country that has electricity, they should be able to pull a crowd out.
They should be adding dates rather than...
And that's how Solo is. It's kind of like, yeah, it is good, but it's Star Wars.
I like that analogy, actually. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So
I'm
again,
not implying Metallica wouldn't sell out Wembley, I'm sure they
could. No, indeed, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they'd be adding dates on, if anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure they could score a Star Wars movie, even though I would be very reluctant to have them do so. I'm sure they're perfectly capable.
It would sound a bit like Galactic Empire, I suppose.
I guess it would, yeah.
Have you heard of them?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they're so good.
Yeah.
No,
they're fun for, you know, when you just want to sort of stick some music on in the background, they're good for that.
Yeah. Their version of the Battle of the Heroes is just insane. They put a black metal double bass drum blast beat into classical music and it works so well.
Okay.
It's Battle of the Heroes, but Galactic Empire, check that one out, guys.
Yeah, I'll have to give them more of a listen. I've only done a couple of songs.
Anyone doesn't know them, it's like Dream Theater covering the Star Wars soundtrack.
Yeah. So, you know, from what I've heard, that seems like a pretty good comparison.
We've gone off rails, haven't we?
So. We have, that's fine. This is not the show for that.
This is what we do.
This is true. And this is what people seem to like. So there you go.
Yeah, cool.
So the next one's from Derek. I'll read this one and then
my lungs are covered in pollen.
That is fine.
I'll sound like General Grievous by the time I hit the halfway mark.
Marvellous. So Derek writes, hello again. Your comments during episode 123 about Last Jedi telling us nothing new, not being very significant and being mainly a personal story, were curious to me. So Luke Skywalker is someone that the good guys and bad guys in this galactic-wide battle are vigorously searching for.
I disagree.
Okay. Do you want to do them one by one?
We
can do. Let's do that.
I disagree completely. The whole thread that J.J. Abrams established about everyone looking for Luke Skywalker is one of the J.J. Abrams threads that was completely dropped. In Last Jedi, no one in the First Order is looking for Luke Skywalker. They are all chasing after the entire Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
The only person who is looking for Luke Skywalker is Rey. Everyone else would much rather go off to a casino for a bit than try and find Luke Skywalker to come and help.
To be fair, if I had the choice.
No, only Rey, and to a lesser extent Chewbacca, care about Luke Skywalker in this film.
It's interesting because you say that.
The only other impact he has is Leia goes, oh, cool, you're here.
Yeah, kind of. It's interesting you say that because I was while you were talking, it was kind of sitting in my head. It almost feels like with the kind of with Last Jedi recontextualizing Force Awakens, it almost seems like it makes Force Awakens seem like the only thing that the First Order care about is that Rey doesn't get to him first.
Mm.
Once they get to him first, they're like, right, cool, let's just go blow everything else up. So yeah, I'm in reframing it in the context of Last Jedi, that does kind of change the dynamic quite a bit. So yeah, I see what you mean. Next, not only do we see Luke return to the galactic stage, but we also witness his grand finale. I personally hope he returns in some form. Derek, I think you'll get your wish. I think he's definitely going to be back in some form for episode 9.
Partially agree. We didn't see him return to the galactic stage. He begrudgingly telephoned to another planet. I think I've said on a previous episode, it might have been on Crazy Train or something, I made a similar comments, it might not even have been talk Star Wars.
Maybe.
There is something very Gandalf for White about the way he disappeared. Mm. So, and as I've said before, if anyone can convince Mark Hamill to come back, it will be J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's fair enough.
Luke returned to the galactic stage. The bulk of his character arc was he didn't want to return to the galactic stage.
Mm.
I have to partially agree on that point.
Yeah, it's fine. So yeah, we do witness his grand finale, but like, as you know, he will. If there's one franchise where death is not an obstacle to returning, it is Star Wars and possibly Harry Potter, because you know, derivative. Also,
he's trying to start a war with Chet Hogwarts now.
Yeah, Converse Ravenclaw or whatever. Whatever they call themselves. Part of the Marauders Map Network.
Yeah.
I should do that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right, so next one. At this point in time, and as far as we know, there are no more Jedi in the galaxy.
To the best of our knowledge, that's true.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I've got no objections to that one whatsoever.
Yeah.
That seems like a new and pretty significant universal development to me. I do see where you're coming from there, Derek. It's the first time in the saga we've had no Jedi whatsoever.
Yeah, you went from 3 to 2.
3 to 2.
Well, Rey, Kylo Ren, and Luke down to Rey and Kylo Ren.
Well, Rey's in training, and Kylo Ren's not a Jedi.
Mm.
So, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Powerful Force users. There's two left.
Significant universal development. We lost one Force user who wasn't contributing to the universe anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it relies on the idea that Episode 7's, the chase, the MacGuffin in Episode 7 is trying to find Luke. And in the context of Last Jedi, I think that reframes everything to, like, it's all about finding him first, and then once you found him first, oh, sod it, let's just invade the galaxy. Which is, fine. But
how does the First Order know that he's been found by Rey?
I don't know.
So they should still be looking for him.
Yeah, I suppose Kylo Ren's kind of relying on Rey to sort of lead him to her,
Again, for listeners of your first show, I'm not down on The Last Jedi.
No.
I'm not a Last Jedi hater at all. There's a lot about Last Jedi I really loved.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff.
But to me, it's some of its biggest crimes were the plot threads that were previously established in Force Awakens that just vanished.
Yeah.
And this was one of them,
along with
Kylo Ren being obsessed with Darth Vader.
Yeah, it does kind of... They sort of touch on it at the very beginning, don't they? Because of all the... take that stupid mask off. I don't think he says stupid. Take that stupid thing off your face. Your little bleeder. leave that dangling after that point for the first sort of 10 minutes or so and no further. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do what you mean. So Derek adds, full disclosure, I still haven't been able to come up with a solid list of my own. That's fair enough.
To be honest, if we tried doing it again, it might be a different order.
Yeah, I do have the order if you want to hear it back.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so it went from last to first. It was Solo, Last Jedi, Rogue One, Empire, Force Awakens, Phantom Menace, Return of the Jedi, Attack of the Clones, A New Hope, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
I still think that's pretty good. I'm still happy to stand by that. I mean,
and again,
to be honest,
this is your first episode. That is not a viewing order.
No, again, yeah. But you cannot stress enough that is not the order in which to view them, either direction. You can watch Solo. No. You can watch Solo by itself. That's fine. But anything else, Rogue One, debatable. But I don't know. I mean, to be honest, that kind of, I get the sense that the top and bottom, if excluding the first and the last.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the middle. I'd say the sort of the top and the bottom bits are probably in flux a bit. I don't imagine they're concrete. Way as my view, my preferred sort of order of quality, just based on my subjective enjoyment of them. Mm. The top ones are in constant flux.
Yeah, it depends what mood I'm in. Really,
exactly. Yeah, there are certain ones I can watch more readily than others if I'm in the mood for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So, Derek. Concludes, thanks and keep up the good work, Derek, in Denver, Colorado. So, P.S. Here's an observation I'd like to get your thoughts on. I've noticed that people more rooted and knowledgeable in the EU content seem to be more frustrated with the movies than those more grounded in the cinema and the experience. Is this a grossly oversimplified generalization? He adds a disclaimer, like you say frequently, and I have, art is subjective and people do not owe blind loyalty to subjective art. So I can flesh that out in a bit more depth if needed. Right, but it's, what do you think? I mean, there does seem to be a sense that the people who, certainly the ones who are the most vocal about the direction of the new Star Wars, do seem to be ones who are heavily steeped in the mythos and the lore, with exceptions, obviously.
It's not a viewpoint that, always with exceptions, it's a big galaxy.
Sure.
It's not a viewpoint I hold, but it is one I can understand.
Yeah.
A lot of people sunk a lot of time and money into the expanded universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of got thrown away and we were told, it's going to be better. And then if it wasn't to your personal taste, you're not going to consider it better. And
no,
you
sure.
are going to be a little bit jaded by it, as opposed to someone who has only done the movies.
Yeah. I've expressed some similar feelings on that, which things like, if you're going to scrub a universe and call it Legends, that's fine, but you have to replace it with something better or something equally deep.
Don't just retread it, which is, I think they've done it overall. Nothing's perfect, but overall I think the new canon is very good.
I think there's some fine stuff in there. I can't disagree
with stuff
that
they have retrod, they have done sufficiently different enough that it was new and engaging.
Yeah. And they have reused bits and pieces, kind of. They've, taken names or character arcs and things. Yeah, and they've done slightly different twists on existing stuff.
Which is fine.
Yeah,
which is great.
Cool.
Yeah. Ultimate Star Wars.
Yes.
So I can understand why someone who was deeply rooted in the EU could be perceived as being a bit of a stick in the mud about it.
Yeah.
I know lots of people who were never big on the EU and don't like the new movies particularly.
Mm-hmm.
I know me quite well. I was quite deep into the EU and I like the new canon as well. So, I don't know if it's grossly oversimplified because there probably is a trend there.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I do see where Derek's coming from on this one. I think, as a general rule, I would imagine that probably holds a fair bit of water as a sort of statement. Obviously, there are going to be exceptions, like I say, present company. But, as a broadly speaking, you do tend to see, certainly the ones that are the most vocal about, I do this for a living. the most vocal about their dislike of this stuff are the ones who are, desperate for the sort of the EU to be kind of re-canonized and stuff. And obviously it's not going to happen because if nothing else, it's just, that's not the direction they're chosen to go. And it also, it ties the hands of the people doing the writing.
Why is it every single Star Wars related Facebook post ever, there's at least one person convinced
that Disney are going to do more expanded universe stories as a separate timeline?
I don't know.
It's not going to happen, guys.
Yeah.
If anything, Crucible was kind of a nice ending.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's that kind of, yeah, this is going to happen in the future at some point, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, it had to end at some point.
And then next you get Legacy.
Everyone's getting real old.
Yeah, and then you get Legacy later on.
Legacy was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, Legacy was brilliant. This is the trouble, isn't it? Like, there's so many good... This is where I think the frustration comes from, is there's so many good things where you can point out, like, oh, the Knights of the Old Republic comics were amazing, and they were. You know, and the Knights of the Old Republic games were amazing. And the video game one is one that I can certainly understand, because we've not had many come out of the post-Disney era. You know, we've had these, we had all these kind of wide variety of games, and some of them were crap, and they were, you know, and some of them were incredible.
Yeah. I mean, my own kind of journey with it was when the buyout was announced, was like, well, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
With the Expendables, because I was heavily in, there was probably in the old Expendables, there's probably 4 or 5 books I hadn't read.
Yeah, I had a few.
I was big into it. We both were. We had a full blown fantasy cast in our head as
Yes, we did.
Which we'd frequently discuss.
And I think one day we should probably revisit that.
One day we should get Garrison East to be Thrawn.
I would be fine with that. That was my thing, and I'm still convinced it would make sense now.
Tell me Bruce Campbell wouldn't be a great talent card.
I can't not tell you. No. him or Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, I think, would work.
Tom Cruise is a bit of an outlier, but yeah, I mean, you say that, it's a good shout.
I feel like he would make a good one. Anyway, we digress. Yeah,
my journey with it was kind of a sitting, and I was really like, oh, what are they going to do with it? Because, as I said, you know, I've invested a lot of time and money into this. Mm-hmm. The fans were taking Star Wars seriously at a time when you didn't, so kind of be respectful of that. And I was even looking like, look, there's a huge gap between the end of the Thrawn duology and the start of Vector Prime. You could do a trilogy of films there.
Yeah.
There's a gap of about 10 years where nothing happened.
Totally.
And I'd always kind of wondered why that was kept that way.
Yeah. As if it was meant to be revisited later.
Yeah, and it was like, well, it's about the 40-year mark. You could probably, everyone would look about the right age.
Yeah.
With a bit of prosthesis, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got on tenterhooks a bit. It was just like, come on, are you going to reboot it? Are you going to scrap it all? Are you going to keep some of it? Are you going to keep everything pre-Jedi and scrap everything post-Jedi? What is the plan here? And when the announcement finally came, we are just scrapping everything, and like Wikipedia's timeline drops down to the 6 movies in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
That was the canon timeline.
It was
first.
Weird.
And it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
That's Spartan, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
And I think a lot of my attitude as soon as they said we're scrapping it, but this is what we're doing going forward, I said that was fun while it lasted. What we're doing now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't take that attitude, and instead are still screaming for them to bring it back.
Yeah.
And
it's a tough one.
It's going to happen.
No, yeah, I definitely think it's not going to happen.
It is a train of thought I follow, and it is a train of thought to an extent I understand.
Just can't be on the journey.
But it's not one I can agree with.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, you know, we're not under any kind of, you know, understanding and sympathy and empathy are two very different things, and one makes for good discussion and one not so much. So, you know, we can sympathize with their position, but not be able to put ourselves in it.
Totally.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad Derek picked up again on the whole people not owing blind loyalty to subjective art, because I still stand by that. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's one of the reasons I really there's one
Did
thing.
Did you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, so the kind of general gist of it, and I sort of touched on this at the time I said it, and I've said it a couple of times since.
He's one of my favourite Star Wars characters.
General gist. Yeah.
General gist of it, yeah.
Summary.
It's a coffee one, right?
So one of my things was, in the same way as Star Wars as a franchise and as a, you know, Lucasfilm as a parent company, Lucasfilm as a production company and Disney as a parent company, don't owe anything to any one fan. By contrast, and as a logical extension, no fan owes Disney their loyalty. So, you're allowed, and this was, I think it was when The Last Jedi was very divisive, and I was kind of, you know, basically I was the de facto position of fighting the corner of people who didn't like the film, because of the people on Talk Star Wars at the time, I liked it the least, but still, but still enjoyed it, if that makes sense. So, generally my take on it is that, you know, fans don't owe anything to Disney or Lucasfilm or, you know, anybody. And this is one of the reasons in fandom that I really dislike this whole no true fan stuff. You know, the kind of thing I mean, where it's like, oh, well, you know, if you don't like X, you're not really a fan. It's just crap. You know, it stands up to no scrutiny. It's not based in any kind of reality. It's just this kind of gatekeeping nonsense that works both, you know, that works in any direction. Like, there's gatekeeping going on everywhere on a constant basis. And it's just garbage, you know, and it doesn't work. And as I say, it turns me right off the whole, you know, the whole discussion, because if somebody's going to come to a, you know, if the premise is, oh, well, you know, you're not really a fan because blank, you don't, you know, you didn't watch, what's his name's Clone Wars? Tartovsky? If you didn't watch Tartovsky's Clone Wars, you're not really a Star Wars fan. It's like, well, no, that's not how that works. You can be a fan and just like one of the films. That's how everything works. You know, I wouldn't call myself a massive fan of... I call myself a fan of The Matrix, but I don't like two of the films especially. I love that first movie and parts of the others. So that's enough, you know. So I see no need to qualify beyond that. And nobody has to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, nobody has to justify their fandom and their their level of it.
I think I've said in some previous episodes, just like, I'm massively into Star Wars, but it's because I don't think that makes me any more or less of a fan than someone who does just enjoy the movies.
No, totally. This is it.
All you have to do is say you're a Star Wars fan and like Star Wars. That's
And you don't have any kind of, there's no requirements, there's no minimum fandom level, and Lord help me, if anybody ever tries to set one up, we're going to fall out big time.
It was kind of like I kind of had it from the other side when I was in the Ghostbusters board game Facebook group.
Yeah.
And there are guys in there who live, breathe, eat and sleep Ghostbusters. And a lot of them are cosplayers. A lot of them like know the individual episodes of a cartoon series inside out. And I actually said, well, I often feel kind of left behind with you guys. And one of the guys said, just because we know more doesn't mean we love it more.
Yeah.
You love it just as much as we do.
Exactly. You know,
that's all that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the approach I will always take with Talk Star Wars, because we've always catered for, we've always tried at least to cater for everybody's level of interest, from somebody who's seen the first film once and loves it fine, to somebody who's, you know, I use the term religiously.
It's not easy.
No, it's not.
Easy, because I'm worried. I frequently worry, am I leaving people in the dust or mansplaining to people?
Well, don't worry about that.
I won't.
Yeah. that was easy.
Good briefing, boss. Good briefing.
Yeah, it's what I do. So Derek, hopefully that kind of covers it. Thank you very much.
Answers your question.
Thank you very much for writing in. And as I say, thank you very much for the email you sent behind the scenes. Very, very touched by the idea that we've inspired somebody to start their own show. And I look forward to seeing how you get on with that. And let me know if there's anything I can do to help you out. Okay, moving on. So this is Adam Kay. So Adam writes... Hey guys, new listener here from the States. I instantly fell in love with you guys after listening to your solo review episodes. One of those cult followers of Boba Fett since I was a kid. I'm actually convinced that a movie shouldn't be made after listening to episode 121. I think there are too many ways to ruin the character and few ways to champion him as the fan favorite he is.
I agree.
I'd rather see a movie about the Bounty Hunters Guild. It's a way to have Fett in the movie heavily, but not give him the spotlight. Maybe adapt the plot from the movie Smokin' Aces. Have these hunters clamoring over each other to get their hands on a high-value target like they did in Empire, all vying for the prize. It's the only way I think they can preserve a character like Fett, but get him on screen. What do you guys think?
I think an ensemble cast bounty hunter movie would be great.
Yeah, I would. I'm totally on board with that. It's almost, it would be almost like the subplot of Shadows of the Empire.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, because obviously you've got the Dash Rendar plot going on. You know, they're trying to recover him.
Yeah,
they could almost retell it. They could retell Shadows of the Empire.
As we were just saying, reappropriate bits like the Boba Fett IG-88 showdown.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they could sort of introduce all those different bounty hunters in kind of more depth, and or they could do something completely different. You know, they could do a post. I mean, there's a thought. You could do a post Jedi movie about the Bounty Hunters Guild, and it's about Boba Fett trying to kind of reassert his position after being out of the game.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, we talked about, we had an idea on an old episode of Talk Star was about the True Grit style old Boba.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something between the two where it's kind of an older Boba. Because Temuera Morrison would be about the right age as well for that sort of era, I would guess. Because it's been about, what, 15 years since Attack of the Clones. So,
yeah.
Be about right.
True Grit would work. Someone like Unforgiven might be a bit too dark, maybe.
Maybe,
that
yeah.
kind of older gunfighter coming back storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it would be kind of cool to see him sort of have to work his way back up from nothing, but, you know, reestablish his position at the top of the pile.
I've not seen Unforgiven for years.
I don't think I've seen it, you know.
No, that's one of my favourite films since I was a kid.
Yeah, there's loads of movies like that.
Much revisit,
yeah. Yeah, I know my dad was a big fan, because I remember him having the VHS back in the day. But
for our younger listeners.
Yeah, for our younger listeners. Those were things like, they were like DVDs, but you had to rewind them.
Yeah. Oh, for our younger listeners, rewinding.
Yeah, it's going, you know, like when you're on Spotify, or like the kids do, other music services are available. There really are. There's so many. And you like a song and you go back to the beginning with a button click. It's like that, except you have to wait for it to do it in more or less real time. Takes a while. But yeah,
the future's awesome.
VHS will be back in a few years anyway, I'm sure. So
yeah, possibly.
But there you go.
So, we're totally on board for Adam to direct his Bounty Hunter movie, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, we should maybe pitch that. Maybe try and get Adam a job, you know.
Totally, yeah.
I just realise, obviously, they've got sort of, you know, the James Mangold thing. But as we're going to come to in the news, there's not... Yeah.
So there's a gap in the market there.
There you go. See, so maybe we can pitch this, get this out there. So Adam writes a PS. So I came back to him and sort of because he emailed this and it came through Thursday night just after we finished recording. So I didn't quite make it into last episode. So I replied back to him and said, you know, I don't want you thinking that we've just kind of glossed over it. It would have been in the show, but it didn't quite make it in time. So it'll be on the next one.
Yeah.
So. He came back to me and he added another piece, which is a PS here. Perhaps one thing that might be an interesting discussion would be the recent interview with Ron Howard, which includes a piece that explains that the big reveal at the end of Solo wasn't figured out until late into shooting. It was left open for numerous characters to be able to fit that boss role. It was only due to Ron Howard lightly suggesting Maul that he was even considered. So there's a source in the show notes, a slash film article that talks about it. So Adam asks, does this at all bother you? I personally think it takes the punch out of the reveal it was meant to have. I know it doesn't change things because the ending came out great, but I can't ignore that the choice was pure circumstance of Ron throwing Maul into the mix. I think this makes the decision less calculated and lends itself to Disney's sloppy handling of the epic moment that is Maul. Am I crazy to think this? From Adam K. You're never going to hear us say you're crazy for thinking something, Adam. We'll use the word crazy, but it's in a different context entirely, and I would encourage you to consult our published works.
Yes.
I didn't know this until, so when Adam sent this through, I had to go looking for it to find this out. But yeah, that it does, there's a thing about Disney Star Wars that's it's only a little thing, but it does kind of grate on me a little bit. I don't know if we meant, I can't remember if we talked about this on the air or in a different conversation, because you and I, you know, we've been known to talk Star Wars.
We talk daily. Yeah,
exactly. We've been known to talk daily and we've been known to talk Star Wars quite commonly, whether we're microphones in front of us or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best job
in the world.
In episode 8, there's a really good bit where Hux is in the throne room and Kylo Ren's unconscious, Snoke's in bits, which takes on a different context if you just say it like that. Snoke's in bits. Yeah. He's like, oh, what have I done? He's unconscious. But Snoke's in pieces. Ren's unconscious, and Hux goes for his sidearm, and then Ren stirs, and it suddenly gets put like sort of tucked away, And it's like clear that he's sort of a, you know, a bit of a coward, and he's an opportunist, and he saw a sort of, you know, he doesn't want to do it on fair terms, but he wants to be a bit of a weasel about it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Weasley. I thought that ties in quite well. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And I thought it was one of the best bits of his character in the entire movie, because up until then I thought he was just making derp faces and being largely ineffectual.
I love Hux.
Yeah, I really, he's one of those ones, that's one of the reasons, if I have criticisms of Last Jedi, and I do, one of them is the way they treat Hux in Last Jedi. Okay. And the way I explained it was, I think having Kylo Ren as a, you know, really well-rounded villain by the end, he's fantastic. I just wish it hadn't come at the expense of every other credible villain on screen over the course of 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was a bit Dead Man's Boots, wasn't it?
Yeah, by the end, he's just the only one who's remotely
alive.
Yeah, or if, you know, like I say, or useful, because Hux is just a kind of, you know, expressionless simp. But that one bit I thought was amazing. Then I learned later that it was a Domhnall Gleeson ad-lib that was put in, and it did take away something from the experience for me, because I thought, well, they should have, you know, that they should recognize that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if they hadn't done that, he would have just been, you know, would have really frustrated me.
Mm-hmm.
There, but for the kind of grace of Domhnall Gleeson kind of situation. And this one, in a similar way, it's like, I get what Adam means about the idea of it being a little bit, there's a little bit of a fumble going on in terms of how they handle the little touches, and it kind of annoys me in a way. And, you know, not doesn't ruin the experience for me, doesn't ruin the movies, but there is a little bit, I have a little bit of annoyance about the fact that a lot of these little things, these little incidental things that really enrich the universe and enrich these characters, are afterthoughts, and they're not planned. They're, you know, they're kind of just thrown in a bit more loosely than I'd perhaps like. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's tough because these changes always happen. And they always will happen right up until the wire as well. That's why you have so many drafts. To me, it doesn't matter how many drafts go through when the final changes are made, as long as the end product is what you want it to be.
Yeah.
I've got 3 books out between the second and third draft. In every single one of them, one character who was supposed to die got written back in by the time I finished with it.
Okay.
So I'm terrible for that, apparently.
you just don't want to part with them.
No, I think that's what it is. I think I'm quite liking people. It's like, no, keep them around.
Yeah, well, I think that's what George R.R. Martin did that with Tyrion, right? He's kind of very vocal about the fact that Tyrion Lannister's his favourite character to write.
I think it's his voice. But until I've just said that on this podcast, I'm the only one who ever knew that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect the final finished product.
No.
Vietnam Black, the ending got changed. Contracts were signed, artwork was finalized. It was about 2 weeks before we went to print. The ending got changed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not a decision of mine, but
That's
a different story.
I'd be interested to hear about that off the air, maybe.
I can do it on the air if you like.
That's fine.
If it's of interest to a show or not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if people want to hear it, they can tweet us. And if we get enough people, we'll do it.
Maybe
you've got to buy Vietnam Black. I would certainly recommend doing that anyway. You know, and there'll be an opportunity to hear about where you can do that at the end of the show.
Yeah, of course. So this stuff is always happening. Mm. And I think what you're witnessing more than anything else is the information age. You're getting more of a glimpse into the creative process than you ever have before.
How the sausage is made.
Who knows? Star Wars is kind of over-explained because it's one of those things people want to read literally everything that was ever produced. Take a movie you enjoy, like True Grit, for example. It's an old book, but True Grit, the storyline. Maybe the ending got changed the day before it went to press.
Yeah?
Maybe a character got completely written out of it from a second draft to a third draft.
Mm.
You don't know.
No.
The creative process has always been the same.
Yeah.
What you're seeing is more of this, and I think it started with the director's commentaries you used to get on DVDs. I assume you still get them.
I assume so.
They were the kind of, and they do they take some of the magic away when they expose it all?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I've always preferred, as a general kind of point of view, I think you're with me on this one from conversations we've had in the past, I always prefer the director's commentaries that are comedic.
Oh, yeah,
so, you know, like the Tropic Thunders and the Futuramas and things like that, where it's just kind of...
the Alan Partridge ones, man.
Oh, I've not heard those. Yeah, I can imagine, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've read the audio, but I've had the audio book read to me by Alan Partridge, so I can certainly relate to those.
So good.
Yeah, it really is. I'm not even familiar with the characters and everything, and I still was laughing my ass off on the train. Absolutely. Excellent. And that's, you know, I already get a lot of looks anyway, being about a foot too tall for the train, but... You know, it's that much more palpable when you're laughing your head off at something that they can't hear.
Yeah, but it takes another movie we've discussed on here before. We're fans of the original Terminator.
Yep.
Maybe they decided to kill Kyle Reese on like the last day of shooting. You just wouldn't know.
That's true. But, yeah.
So when you hear stuff like "Old Darth Maul got dropped in at the last moment," it doesn't really throw me because it's always been like that. It's just it's almost like magic tricks are being exposed.
See, I know what you mean, but that to me is almost, that's the thing. Maybe that's the distinction, is when I see when I find out how a magic trick's done, it loses something.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it's that kind of, you know, oh, well, I wish they, you know, I'm glad they did it, but I sort of wish they'd seen that coming a bit more. Because it almost, the other thing is, we've talked before, and it's been brought up on previous shows, about how this has the potential, the Solo thing would have the potential to springboard a kind of scum and villainy area of the galaxy in terms of, you know, kind of connected materials, films, TV, books, potentially. Stuff like this suggests that that's not what they're thinking, because they would have telegraphed it a bit more if that was their grand scheme. It's like this polar opposite of what Marvel are doing, where everything's connected in, and when you get your end credit scenes in a Marvel movie, they're actually bits from the future film because it's been sort of shot far enough in that they know what to put in there. Like, you know, the end of Ant-Man is from Civil War, and the end of Doctor Strange is from Thor Ragnarok and things like that. So they're all kind of woven together.
It's incredibly well organized.
It really is, and this is it.
The Marvel Super Universe is outstandingly well put together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like I say, with Lucasfilm and with Star Wars, it seems like the opposite's happening. Like, cool ideas are happening despite them.
To switch the Darth Maul analogy around, it would be like if they'd just gone, oh, we could drop Thanos in.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if it's just like, oh, you know, talking to the big bad at the end, and it's like, oh, it's Thanos. Oh, well, that would be quite significant for comic book fans, I'd wager. And the way they handled it in the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe was fine, because it was built up and escalated over time. You know, they started with him just kind of turning to the camera and smirking, and then over time it got more and more kind of, he turned up on screen, and then he sort of, at the end of one of the movies, I forget which one, he says, oh, I'm going to have to get it myself, about one of the Infinity Stones.
Doctor Strange?
Possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Guardians 2, I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah. It might be Guardians 2, actually. That does sound familiar. Yeah. Although Guardians 1 actually has a stone in it. So, but then that's the one with the Howard the Duck cameo, isn't it, at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, which again is just, you know, it's another one of those ones that's just a nice little touch that works for anybody who's watching, but really works for the comic book fans.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is people really are focusing on the Darth Maul thing, and it may just be a Howard the Duck moment.
Yeah, this is it, you know, but it's I think that's where people are kind of a little bit bummed out about it, is the idea that it is just a Howard the Duck moment, and they didn't think it through further ahead than that, because everybody else has kind of seen this potential. And maybe they have too, but after the fact.
What I would say is, all right, it was Ron Howard slightly suggesting more, and they went, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the last day of shooting they came out of that idea.
Oh, no, I'm sure it wasn't.
But it must have been months back, obviously, since Ron Howard's got involved.
Yes.
But I get the feeling a lot of things changed when Ron Howard got involved.
Sufficiently to remove Lord and Miller from the credits, yeah.
It's... The Darth Maul thing, it's not like Donald Gleason making something up on the spur of a moment. It was obviously enough lead time to get Ray Park and Sam Witwer involved, and get the CG modeling done. So although it was like, oh, that works, how far along in development was this really? We've not got a time scale there.
Yeah.
Is this Ron Howard said, oh yeah, how about Darth Maul? And then that kind of kicked off a load of ideas. Is that what happened?
Yeah, this is it, you know.
It's not, I don't believe it was, I'll just stick Darth Maul in or something, I guess.
No, I'm sure that's not how it worked. I'm sure it was, because so kind of like, that works.
It was a considered decision.
Yeah. But it's just kind of, you want, I think what it is, I don't know how Marvel's organized, Marvel Studios, but
they had one bloke running it, didn't they?
Yeah, they have one bloke overseeing the whole thing, but I don't imagine he's got full, I don't think he's doing all the stuff. I think he's doing a fair bit of stuff.
Kevin Feige?
Feige? I don't know.
I honestly don't, I'll have to look it up for next episode because it's come up before.
That's fine. I mean, you know, he's tangentially relevant to the Star Wars stuff, so. Mm-hmm. He's sort of overseeing it all, and then I don't know how the story stuff works. Do they have a story group?
They must do.
But this is the thing, Lucasfilm do.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, like, what is their purpose? It should be, you know, they should be the ones kicking in the ideas to kind of tie things together and put in the little
nods. It still annoys me that the story group can make sure that some stormtrooper in a random issue of the Darth Vader comic isn't using the wrong gun for the time period.
Yeah.
But when it comes to episodes 7, 8, and 9, we're just going to pass right from writer to writer.
Yeah, exactly. There should be an 7, 8, and 9
should have been conceived as a full story, not J.J. Abrams going, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, simultaneously giving him everything and nothing to work with.
Yeah,
which is a weird kind of quantum super state filmmaking.
Do you not envy that man that job?
No, but at the same time, it's kind of nice in a way because, by the nature of the fact he has to time jump, he can almost go anywhere with it.
Mm. Yeah,
and, you know, I think let's say I have, you know, I'm sure they'll make an enjoyable movie.
Oh yeah, I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we'll find out, I'm sure, more about it in the long run, because obviously otherwise it's going to be a quiet 18 months on Talk Star Wars. Although, you know, that's never stopped us before, and I see no reason
why. Rebellion the other day.
There you go, right?
Yeah, see, Star Wars is always happening.
Exactly. So, thank you, Adam, for those questions. And our next question is from another Adam. This is Ads. So, hey. Ads was the genius behind last week's ranking the story.
Show note, it said ads, so I thought
he
meant we're
going to
take an advert break.
No, we'll do sorry, do that at the portion where it says break in the show notes.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. So yeah, ads is the genius behind last week's story ranking by potential, story ranking by impact. I'm so glad he's writing in regularly again, because I love his questions.
This one is so good.
Yeah, so ads writes, you win the lottery. All right, cool. I'm on board with this already.
Cool.
Buy a small mountain. Will we? Buy a small mountainside and are tasked with creating your own Star Wars Mount Rushmore. Who goes on and in what order? That is a great question. It's a really great question. I'm gonna seek clarification on this from Ads officially off the air. But I'm gonna say in the meantime, let's do a character one.
Oh, that's because, not one I've done.
Okay. Oh, have you done?
I was doing real people.
Oh, okay. Well, we can do that. Like it's just going to end up, we're going to end up with two George Lucases.
One on each,
I should say.
Yeah.
So,
do you want me to do the ones I had?
Tell you what, let's do both. Let's do first, we'll do real world personas, and then we'll do one by characters as well.
Okay. George Lucas, obviously.
Of course.
Because if he didn't, he'd be kind of noticeable by his absence, really, wouldn't he?
Very much
unless
so,
you wanted to leave some sort of mystery behind of why didn't they put George Lucas there?
Yeah.
No one knows.
This is why, this is one of the reasons.
Something macrobiotic sci-fi.
have you listened to the Tumbling Saber show Worthy of Recognition?
I'm not good on episode titles. They'd film me in on what
they're the
about.
Ones where Kyle interviews a particular fan. The most recent one was with me.
I didn't hear that one. No.
So it's just like a sort of long, it's like a long form chat where it's kind of he actually gets you to make your Star Wars Mount Rushmore, and the one rule is George Lucas is a given, so you can't have him. It has to be people who are relevant to you personally.
Okay,
so it's a kind of Mount Rushmore in terms of like people who you associate with Star Wars. So it might be the people you go and see every movie with, or yeah, the friends with whom, you know, your most kind of you discuss it the most, like family, if you've got kind of a family connection there and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or it might be an actor who plays stuff, that, you know, all that sort of thing. So that is his one rule, is no George Lucas.
Okay.
So we can loophole that, because we haven't been given any rules to play with here.
I think if we've got four faces we've got to fill.
Yes.
It would be criminal not to include George Lucas.
I would agree.
Yeah. Similarly, John Williams.
Oh, John Williams has to be on the mountain. You know, it's just a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm. After that, Ralph McQuarrie.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that. Would you stick Colin Cantwell on there?
I mean, Ben Mendelsohn.
He'd be on mine, but you know, that's not a surprise to anybody.
Rob Wade won the lottery, and over there is Mount Benmore. Four sculptures of Ben Mendelsohn.
Mount Mormendo. It's just, it's pictures of him
carved into the rock by Peter Stormare using his teeth.
Absolutely. And the direction he got was just walk up and touch it. it would be the Mount Mendomore, and it would be his different busts of his characters from Ready Player One, Rogue One, Dark Knight Rises, and a fourth Ben Mendelsohn project to be determined once I've seen more. Yeah, two Krennics works. Maybe Angry Krennic and Serene Krennic. Just maybe midway through, we stand amongst my achievements.
Angry Krennic and Friendly Krennic.
Yeah, so we mentioned that we played Rebellion the other day, right? So on the way to yours, I was saying to Blake, if we end up playing on a team together, don't be surprised if I turn to you and just yell, "We stand here amidst my achievements, not yours."
What a game.
Oh, it was wonderful. Played four player, Empire versus Rebels. It was great.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. Yeah, but all right, so we got...
Many Boffins died because reasons.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we did blood Bothery. So that'll happen. So... George Lucas and John Williams, I think, are definitely givens.
Mm-hmm. He very much shaped the visuals a lot more than people realise.
Yeah, I would say I'd say that's fair.
Ben Burtt, maybe, because he shaped most of the soundscapes.
Oh, Ben Burtt's a good shout. Yeah, we do end up with the crew on, like, and that's fine. I'm just, you know,
But those four for me would be the people that shaped Star Wars the most.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's fair enough. Okay, so. Let's do three different types. So that's our kind of the shapers.
Yeah.
The founders. So that's the founders. Let's do the characters.
Okay.
I was going to say let's do the actors. Now I think about it, maybe that's not, because then that would just end up being
the
Mark Harrison Carey and probably Alec Guinness and maybe Peter Cushing at a push.
Yeah.
We're doing that. We'll build an extension. for Cushing.
Okay.
Characters then. Let's do characters.
Four characters.
Yeah.
Well, much as George Lucas is shooting, I kind of feel Anakin Vader's got to be here.
Anakin Vader. Okay. So Revenge of the Sith Vader, basically.
I was just classing him as the same character, which I shouldn't do, really. Vader's probably the most iconic face.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Visually, in terms of, like, if there's an image you associate with Star Wars, it's Darth Vader's helmet.
Oh, God, yes.
Umar.
Freepio and R2.
That's a good shout, actually. Yeah, because they're the constant throughout certainly the saga movies.
Yeah,
they're the constant thread that goes through every single one. That works.
And Ben Quadrineros.
Yeah, I mean, I see no reason. I can't think of anybody else who's more deserving. Namesake of Kylo Ren. Yeah. Are we thinking about this in too scientific a term? In terms of, like, are we kind of approaching this from an impact rather than a subjective preference thing?
Okay, well, we can do that as well. It's a national monument. I kind of feel we have to take our audience into account.
Which is fine, you know.
Yeah.
But so this is Vader, your own Mount Rushmore. This is a small mountain. This is not we don't have to replace Mount Rushmore. We're building our own.
Okay.
But having said that, let's do a fourth of the kind of the impactful characters.
Impactful characters.
Yeah, because that's kind of the way we've ended up taking the these first three are kind of the ones that tie the universe together.
Okay, so across all three trilogies?
Kind of, yeah.
So it's Vader...
3PO and R2.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan? Yoda, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say so? Yoda, yeah.
Even more so, maybe.
Big Quaternaris?
You're really determined to get him up there, I realise
it. I just want to see it.
Makes me wonder if you've got, like, a sculpt designed already.
It's a plaster caster.
Is that what that bust in your room is meant to be?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, cool. That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, so in terms of impact across all three trilogies.
Yeah. I feel like I do understand the Obi-Wan thing, because especially because he's such a cool character in the, certainly in the prequels, certainly towards the latter half.
Yeah.
But Yoda for me has slightly more gravitas, because he's the one who kind of returns to Luke when he's the first one to come back to Luke when he's one with the Force again.
Yeah.
And he's the one who kind of almost like bops him on the head and sets him straight, and actually literally bops him on the head, which did bug me, but you know, that's not, because that's not how ghosts work.
Force push.
Yeah, he gave him a force kick. That's fine. But, you know, for me, Yoda kind of has a little bit more impact in that respect, because he's the one who grounds... In a way, he almost... We've been listening to Luke kind of run the Jedi down and stuff, and Luke, and Yoda's almost the one who comes back in and goes, yeah, keep in mind, there are worse things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he sort of gives us a bit of perspective at that point. And
yeah.
Obi-Wan in the sequel trilogy is a little bit less. He's not really anywhere. He's just kind of, they've cut a little bit of Alec Guinness really in there in the first step stuff.
Yeah, okay.
That's not as impactful as kind of setting Luke straight on the, you know,
mm-hmm.
giving him that kind of that moment's hesitation that presumably influences him ending up sort of intervening at the end, despite his sort of insistence that he's not going to do so. Plus, he costs less in terms of plaster.
Are we missing an obvious four in Sidious, Vader, Tyrannus, and Maul?
That's a good mount. That's a good mount anyway.
That's what she said.
Uma. I like that mount anyway. As a term, yeah. You know, just as a general concept, that works for me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that's the only four Sith Lords you see in the movie. Canon.
Yeah, true.
We know there are more, but
yeah. And in fact, I think they revealed one. I can't remember his name, but they talked about one. I think he's in one of the video games. He's referenced, or one of the books or comics. Oh, it's the comics. He's got. There's a new guy with a new crossguard lightsaber.
Okay,
and I can't remember
Darth
his name.
Darth Bane's in Clone Wars.
Yes, he is. He is canon, not to the same degree as he was, but
no, he was voiced by Mark Hamill.
Yes, he is.
As all things should be.
Yeah, I think I'd be all right with that. You know, yeah. It would certainly improve that Winnie the Pooh movie. Although, you know, Darth Atreus, there we go. Star Wars Annual number 4, he has a crossguard lightsaber. And he's part of the new canon.
I've read up on the crossguard lightsabers, because originally I was under the impression they were vents because Kylo Ren had a faulty crystal.
Yeah.
Obviously, then in Rebels, you see an old crossguard, one from the Old Republic, so it must be another reason for him. So I'll have to read up on those for the next episode.
Yeah, it's interesting that they've kind of thrown them in a bit more depth, because the Visual Dictionary kind of alludes to the idea that that's a design choice rather than a functional. You know, it's a design choice to make sure it functions properly rather than an aesthetic thing or any kind of practicality. But they've put them in, like you say, they put them in Rebels, and they've sort of, you know, they've kind of touched on them in like Clone Wars and things like that. But in this annual number 4, apparently there are two. Darth Atreus had a pair of crossguard lightsabers, which seems even less practical.
Yeah, because if it's something like Kylo Ren, maybe it's just the way Kylo Ren holds it. It looks like a claymore almost.
Yeah.
It's almost like he tends to fight two-handed. Certainly in the Force... Again, I've only seen Last Jedi once. Certainly in Force Awakens, mm-hmm. a lot of time he's two-handed in it.
Yeah, this is it. He's sort of wielding it like you say, like a claymore. It makes sense, you know. So we've only got 7 canon Sith Lords now.
Okay.
Because...
Which is fine.
Now they've added in Atreus. So it's Atreus, Bane, Plagueis, Sidious, Maul, Tyrannus, and Vader.
Yeah, okay.
Which sounds right.
Yeah. We've not had a visual for Plagueis yet in the new canon, I believe.
Not in the new canon, no. Obviously, he was a moon in the old canon.
Going back to what people I was criticising earlier, if there's one book I'd like to put back in the canon, it's Darth Plagueis.
That would be cool. Yeah, just that whole...
Yeah.
Fleshing out that whole thing.
If just, you know, bribe James Ticino with Rolos and Curly Whirlies to come back and just rewrite it.
Yeah. I'd be all right with that.
Talkstar Wars legal disclaimers, I'm not claiming that's actually James Luceno's fee.
No, and Talkstar Wars legal disclaimers doesn't mean we're actually going to provide these Curly Whirlies ourselves. The other stuff, fine, but...
Yeah,
the Curly Whirlies are my limit.
Cash and carry card, yeah.
Exactly, you know.
So you said there's a third way of doing it you wanted to do as well?
Yeah, just kind of characters by personal preference in terms of our favourite characters in the films, which I suspect this is the way Ads wants it sort of addressed.
But okay, fine.
We have come up with some good ones, so it doesn't really matter.
My four favourite Star Wars characters would be Darth Vader.
Yep.
Because he is the strongest character arc across all of Star Wars. Luke Skywalker, because he's one of the first heroes I ever had.
Yep.
Well, it gets tougher after that, doesn't it? Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yep.
Because he's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, that seems fair. I don't think you need to... I didn't even know you needed to qualify that one.
No, but I'm just musing and it makes more interesting radio. I'm rather than me just rattling off four characters and not explaining why.
Yeah, that's fine.
Having to pick one last one is tough. Rey.
Okay. Yeah. More so than Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
More so than Han. Leia. Lando.
Now you're making it up.
Ben Quadrineros. Great minds.
No, I love Rey.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. All right, yeah, so there's your four.
I mean, if I was really going to do this, the troll in me would be really tempted to do something like Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, and a Wampa. Just have everyone who comes to a monument try and work out, why a Wampa? I don't get it. Why is it?
Yeah.
Why do they go for a Wampa? No reason.
Yeah.
To make people do that. That's the answer.
Is that the Boosh outfit? But that's not even... That's not Boosh in the film. It's Leia again. You just loopholed Leia twice.
Yeah, just have... Not even having me one on the end, being like the third one in. And just why is he there? That doesn't make any sense.
What? And you could have it... I'll tell you what. You could have it posed so that he's just kind of like looking toward... Just looking at Luke a bit hungry. And Luke's like, oh...
Yeah.
More than if I like this.
Yeah, you can dress it up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you could that way you could play with the kind of the theatrics of it all.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go with Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because like you say, he's got the strongest arc in all of the films. He becomes a monster to save his wife and a human to save his son.
As we all have.
Yeah, you know, it's been known. Luke Skywalker, it would have to be the Return of the Jedi era Luke Skywalker, because he was sort of the one I'm most kind of fanatical about. I would probably go Lando.
Yeah.
Characters with depth, and he has depth in Empire and Jedi because he has an arc that's kind of redemptive. And they do, considering the time they have to tell his arc, they do a good job of kind of seeding his turn from sort of, you know... exploited to sort of self-confident and kind of back in the fray again. And then Palpatine.
Hi.
I love him. I think he's great. Episode 3 Palpatine is one of my favourites. Just that kind of over vaudevillian kind of theatrical over the top.
Yes.
You know, the bit that sticks in my head is the line, "To save your wife from certain death," and then there's just this smile of like, "I've got you, you swine." Yeah. And it's just that he's played his hand, and he knows exactly what he's done, and he knows that he's won at that moment.
Yeah,
just in that smile, it's just brilliant. You know,
yeah,
it's just one of many things I love about Revenge of the Sith. To be honest,
it's my favorite one.
Yeah, it would be up there for me. I don't know. I'd have to revisit my order at some point. I will, because I haven't done it since Rogue One, so it needs to be addressed, I think. And there, yeah, so that's four. There you go. So Vader, yeah. Luke, Palpatine, and Lando. Although I would, mm-hmm. like, Leia would be up there. My problem is purely that she doesn't really have a lot to do in the sequel trilogies so far. And, you know,
okay.
unfortunately, you know, episode 9 is going to be tricky to countenance yeah. that as well for, you know, obviously unfortunate reasons. But,
yeah.
you know, she hasn't really had a lot of impact for me in the sequel trilogy
yeah.
as yet. I'm hoping that they'll kind of, they'll use the unfortunate passing of Carrie Fisher as a, you know, they'll put her in the story prominently without displaying her.
Yeah.
They'll make her sort of, they'll kind of weave some of the story threads around her without making her prominent on screen, because that opens up a whole can of worms about how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I said they're not going to Peter Cushing it, didn't they?
They said that. I think they made a mistake in saying that, because I think they've backed themselves into a corner now. But okay. I understand why they've done it.
They said they weren't going to recast it.
They haven't ruled out recasting. I okay. think that would be the biggest mistake they could possibly make if they want to keep fans on
unless
side.
Unless they use Gary Fisher instead.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Fine.
you can't, if you were in the cinema and Gary Fisher turned up as Princess Leia, you can't say you'd be disappointed with that performance.
I can't, you're right.
No.
You know, I'd try as I might.
Aww.
Check him out. Isn't he nice? Yeah. Yeah, Leia would be up there for me. She would be kind of in at the edges somewhere, but mm-hmm. she can't quite make the four, unfortunately. I realise yeah, okay. that obviously that's a bit of a weird justification, bearing in mind that Lando is only in two of the eight films, and he's still
yeah,
on there.
Your but personal favourites.
I like
okay.
yeah, I like his arc. So you know, he gets that sort of redemptive arc, and that's always good.
Yeah, Leia's arc in the original trilogy isn't as strong as some of the other characters, because much of what makes her a kind of hardened rebel general has already happened by the time A New Hope starts.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, she's kind of she's, had a lot of her
she's on the ball from the moment you see her.
Totally.
She's,
yeah.
She's, you know, blagging Vader, saying I'm just a diplomatic
yeah.
ship on a diplomatic mission. He's sitting there going,
I've just watched you
4 minutes ago.
Yeah. I've just watched this. Don't give me that. I've yeah. not had my coffee.
Yeah,
we have been chasing you for days.
Apart from opening the cell door, she's the one who breaks them out of cell block.
Oh, totally. She's driving.
Yeah,
know,
so
she's driving.
She's, you don't really see her develop and grow as a rebel commander, because she's very much had that from a very young age.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think Leia's arc, really, I suppose, is mostly centered around the love affair with Han.
Yeah, which, you know.
Which is fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, but there's you don't see her grow as an action hero very much.
No, but at the same time, I think that's okay. You mm-hmm. know, because she is in there for the action scenes, and she does kind of she's not ineffectual in those scenes. She's in there.
Absolutely.
And she's in the mix
yeah,
and she's shooting and killing and
yeah.
winning,
but
helping to win
you,
battles
you,
and stuff.
You focus on character arcs quite a lot, and I was just saying that's probably the reason why Leia didn't crack the top four for you.
Maybe, yeah. It's the same thing of, like, I don't really dig superheroes who don't have who have powers. I like superheroes for whom they have some humanity or mortality about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your Punishers and your Constantines and
Your Batmans.
One thing I've never been able to reconcile is why I don't like Iron Man, given that. Because he doesn't have powers, everything is in his suit. But that's a discussion for another time, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Ads, for sending that question in. That's always a lot of fun to answer stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
Just because you get kind of insight into, you know, how people tick.
Yep.
And, yeah, you're absolutely right. Bring them on. Ads, I'm very, very glad to see you writing in again. And long may it continue. Send them our way as much as you can. Right, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we've got a bit of Star Wars news. And we're back. So, so let's do a bit of Star Wars news. Now, the original show notes and the show notes that will be available to listeners list that we're about to talk about a Collider story.
Okay.
About future Star Wars story spin-offs being kind of on hold, in hiatus. There's an uncertainty about things. So says the rumor. During the break, a story broke on ABC News that says that's... I was about to swear...
You can do. We're all grown ups. It's fine.
Not on not the demographically. No, that's not the case, unfortunately. But
Bamford Poodoo.
Indeed. Yeah. So an ABC news story has kind of come out in retaliation to this story from Collider, saying that, according to sources of theirs at Lucasfilm, that report is inaccurate, was their wording. They didn't use the term Bamford Poodoo. They said inaccurate.
They should have done. They missed a trick.
Yeah, quite so. But do you ever, on a, like, would you find that a bit cringeworthy if a news outlet did that sort of, you know, wouldn't it feel a bit forced? Hey, oh.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently that's not the case. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't know who to believe. I don't care. You know,
But I've got two people saying no news today.
Yeah, this is it. Like,
tell us what you reckon.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's like one story says, oh, well, maybe there's some stuff going on. And another story says, oh, maybe not. No, ignore them. And nobody seems to have any clear kind of line on this.
My social media feed today has been full of Boba Fett movies got cancelled, Kenobi movies got cancelled.
Yeah.
And I've just been saying to people, you can't cancel a movie that wasn't announced.
No, this is the thing. I can't work out when this happened, but there has been a point where fandom has decided that if enough people believe a story without a Lucasfilm announcement, that still makes it true.
Yeah, because there's never been a Kenobi movie announced.
No.
The Boba Fett movie was discussed. It wasn't even ever announced.
No. The Hollywood Reporter had the story about...
Josh Trank?
The James Mangold. James Mangold.
Oh, sorry.
The Logan fellow. No, the Josh Trank one was a thing, and then that got canned because of...
Yeah.
Well, the rumour is, but the theory is that it's because of the performance of Fantastic Four, which didn't do so well, so...
Yeah. No, that's my understanding.
Yeah, that's the sort of widely held belief is that it's Fantastic Four related, which I could understand because that didn't really set the world on fire, even though one of the characters could totally do that. the Collider story suggests that the plans for all the spin-off stuff is on the shelf, not cancelled. Okay. This is the other thing. On the shelf and cancelled are not the same thing. Nope. In the same way as administration and closing down are not the same thing. There's this tendency to associate one with t'other, but it's not the case. Yeah. On the shelf means put to one side for potentially later use. Yeah. The word that they use when things are cancelled is cancelled.
Yeah. Well, I guess because people saying, oh, they're stopping so they can concentrate on episode 9.
Yeah.
You know, that's, considering the performance of Solo, that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
It shows they've learned from mistakes and realised they do need to work at this.
Yeah, totally.
It isn't just going to... They didn't learn it with the original Clone Wars movie.
Yep.
But they actually need to work at marketing a Star Wars movie for people to realise there is a Star Wars movie in the cinema. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is absolutely a licence to print money, but that doesn't mean you can just hope the audience turns up.
Yeah, no, very true. I think you're totally bang on. So what's interesting about this as well is there was a story that did the rounds at the end of last week. So it's just kind of just after we recorded. There was a rumour doing the rounds that they had 9 films in production. And what I found interesting about that is everybody's kind of minds were awash with possibility, but I can account for 6. Just off to, and I can, in fact, if you believe the rumours, I can account for 8 of them. Because there was episode 9.
Yep.
Ryan Johnson's trilogy, which is 4, which is still happening regardless.
Yeah.
Benioff and Weiss, at least 2.
Are they movies or are they TV series?
My understanding is they're movies.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure. I believe that's the case.
Okay.
And then if you believe the rumours, Kenobi and Boba Fett, that's 8.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 8 out of 9. So like what you're saying, what that rumour was, is there's another film you haven't heard about yet, which is entirely possible. I've seen no reason to believe they're not considering other films. It would be a little bit kind of
literally their job.
Yeah, it would be a little bit irresponsible if they weren't.
Yes, although past records have shown.
Well, you know, there's that. But yeah, it's all over the place at the moment. This kind of discussion about movies and forthcoming projects.
The fan reaction on social media today has just been headless chickens.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I don't really understand.
I'm just sitting here going, you can't cancel a movie that isn't announced.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yeah, why? I don't understand it. And again, like you say, you can't cancel it, and that's not what they're doing anyway.
You can't say, oh, they didn't market Solo correctly and then be annoyed when they kind of slow down so they can do stuff properly.
No, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and in the same way, like, I'd be interested to see what movies are out this December. That's something I will say on the Solo subject, because I really want to see what Solo would have been up against if they'd held fire to that December date. I want to see that.
I'm not aware of anything.
I don't know of anything serious. Maybe that new Peter Jackson one. Is it Mortal Engines?
That might be December. Not Fury Road movie.
Yeah. The sort of steampunk Fury Road, pretty much. But yeah, I can't see. Let me just have a. I don't know if you're doing the same. I'm having a quick look to see
what
the December 2018 release schedule.
The Spider-Man animated movie.
That's not really. I don't expect that's going to get a big run.
No, I'm surprised it's not straight to video.
Yeah, it's almost like the kind of thing I would expect to be a straight to DVD release. So yeah, I can't imagine they're particularly stressing about Aquaman.
Aquaman's a big one, but
I think it's going to be a popular film. I think it's going to be one of those ones that's surprisingly good in terms of how well it's received, like Wonder Woman was, because that did well, but it did really, really well.
I don't believe Disney fears DC.
I think you're probably right. You know, I think that's probably true. But again, it's like they've got other Disney properties to kind of contend with, but they're not really related stuff. It's Mary Poppins Returns. Which I'm sure.
And so Spider-Man for Spider-Verse is going to be a hard sell, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. It's got Spider-Gwen in it. I was so happy to see it because I love her.
I thought of you when I saw that in the trailer.
When I saw the trailer, I was just like, I assumed it was a straight-to-DVD movie.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've seen it being advertised in the theatre.
Yeah, same. There's Bumblebee, Aquaman, Holmes and Watson.
Which I'm sure will be fine.
Holmes and Watson, which is a comedy starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, which I had not heard of and now I want to know more.
Yeah, same.
And then there's Mary Poppins Returns, Aquaman, Mortal Engines is December, as suspected. And Alita Battle Angel, which looks kind of cool.
I've seen the anime, but about 20 years ago.
It's a live-action adaptation of the anime. Okay. Starring Christoph Waltz, so, you know, sold.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And Jackie O'Haley's in it as well, so.
No, awesome.
It should be good,
I think. 50-50 return rate for me.
I think that's fair enough. I think that's a pretty good ratio as actors go. I don't think there's many better than that. Maybe Gary Oldman.
No.
But then he's probably got some dross in there, if you look hard enough.
I'm sure he has, yeah.
So I'd be interested to kind of... I realise we've gone a little bit off the rails here, but...
Yeah, pull us back up.
Yeah, but I would be interested to see how December stacks up in terms of films, to see where Solo could have mixed up, you know, and what's...
I think Solo, with the correct build-up, Solo could have smashed all of those aside.
I really think it could have, yeah. You know, it's... And obviously we'll never know, but...
Yeah.
What we have is what we got. But, it's interesting that it's all over the place at the moment in terms of discussing this stuff. You know, there's no real sense of who's... Not telling the truth, but who's got the right of it. You know, it seems unusual that the Collider story just came out of nowhere. It seems unusual to me that it doesn't strike me as the kind of thing you'd make up apropos of nothing. You know?
No, it's got to be something else you can be reporting on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's other stuff. There's always movies and stuff going on. Collider's not a Star Wars limited website. You know, it's all sorts of movies and TV stuff. So there's always stuff to report on. And we're in the 24-hour news world. You know, there's always something going on.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm more tempted to believe ABC than Collider.
Of the two, I think they probably got the right of it, but it's weird to me that you'd print something like this based on no information.
Yeah, it's a very strange arrangement.
I find it hard to believe that they've completely misread this.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to know what to make of it all. So yeah, you know, listeners. We're aware of this stuff. It's hard to know where to fall down on it. This is the thing. It wouldn't surprise me if they decided to pop that stuff on hold, get episode 9 out, and then rethink it all.
The best advice I can give any listener is don't buy it until you buy it.
Yeah, totally. And then when Lucasfilm kind of announce it, you can take it as gospel. And that goes double for the standalone movie themes, because nobody has confirmed Boba Fett.
Nobody.
Yeah, these have not been confirmed. Anybody who says otherwise is either mistaken or reading from a different hymn sheet than me.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. There's don't get be excited, be happy, speculate. Please do.
We're going to
keep us busy. You're going to start worrying about a film that doesn't exist getting cancelled.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to be stuck in this weird quantum super state cancellation. It's very odd. You know, do what we do, and we're going to be doing for the next 18 months. Speculate wildly. Yeah. You know, we're going to be speculating all over these microphones.
Yeah, have fun with it by all means, but don't lose sight of what's actually happening.
Yeah, just like stick to you know, when you see it on StarWars.com or on the Star Wars Twitter, you can probably take
we'll
it
as Star Wars.
Yeah. We'll talk Star Wars because we'll generally try and stick to those. And you know, everything we can't confirm will be kind of prefaced with a layer of speculation.
We will acknowledge rumors, but we will always call them rumors if that's what they are.
Yeah. Speaking of rumors, did you see, this is not in the show notes, this is just in a little aside, did you see the fantastic one that's, the leap of logic was Olympian in its stature? Did you see the one that came out of the Express this week?
No.
I'm not going to rag too heavily on this, but...
I already feel that you should.
Okay, well, we'll see how we get on. So
I'll get the rags.
There was a, there was a casting call for a four-year-old boy to act in episode 9.
Right.
The leap of logic made by a certain YouTuber whose name I won't mention because it sort of glorifies, and you should really just pay this no mind because for reasons you're about to hear, he made the leap that must be a child, which is fine.
That's not a leap of logic.
I'm not done. it is a child of Kylo Ren and Rey.
I mean, what? It might be.
But based on when? And the thing that they read into it in the Express was maybe that force touch meant something. It's like, force touch? Really? Like, that's the mechanism for...
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not. That sounds awful.
Yeah.
You know?
That, frankly, raises too many questions.
It does. It raises more questions than it decisively answers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one I saw pop up. And like I say, the YouTuber in question is well known for, I think I've described him in the past as, if you try and hit a dartboard with a Gatling gun, yeah, you're going to hit a few. if you're throwing everything you've got at it, yeah, a couple of things might stick, but you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
So I just say it's not in the show notes because it was just something that popped into my head. But speaking of leaps of logic and reading too much into
many speculations of the Lord Santeca as Boba Fett vibe for the next 18 months.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not to that degree, but there you go. So the other one that came out this week was it's another rumor, but this one actually to me seems a bit more credible.
Okay.
So Fanthatrax reported an exclusive rumor, which is a weird concept. Because I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, an exclusive rumor. Yeah. Lord Santeca's Boba Fett. I've not seen, you know, we can own that. He's not. I think that's highly unlikely.
God, if that's for Boba Fett movie.
He ends with Max von Sydow going, I'll tell you more later. I've got a guest. So the rumor is that Billy Dee Williams will return to play Lando in episode 9. I can believe it in a story context. I don't think he's well.
I didn't know he was unwell.
Well, when I say unwell, I don't necessarily mean he's afflicted with anything specific.
Yeah.
But I recall very vividly when they did the 40th anniversary panel and they brought out everybody who'd kind of had more than a passing role in the films.
Yeah.
Who could make it, at least. They had a lot of messages from people who couldn't. But I remember Billy Dee couldn't stand.
Oh, really?
Well, if he could, it was for a limited amount of time. He was not in a good way. And I seem to recall hearing shortly afterwards that he was under the weather at the time. And that has since no longer been the case. But
he's an older man. Because he was an older man at the time of Making Empire. He was older than the rest of them.
He's in his 60s now, you know. And
I thought he'd be older than that because I thought Mark Hamill's in his 60s.
Yeah, but I think Mark Hamill's only just in his 60s. I think Billy Dee is kind of a bit more comfortably in his 60s. Now I say that, double check it. He is
81.
He's what? 81. Where did I get 60s from?
I don't know.
Man,
he's 81, mate. He's allowed to be tired.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to impugn his desire to be tired. Like you say, he's earned it. It seems to me like like I say, I can see why they could do it and the reasoning behind it from a meta perspective, because obviously now you've got no kind of generaling. You need a central character to kind of tie together that side of the story that you're going to have to hand off.
And a rebellion general.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's the last context we saw him in.
Yeah, it annoys me, this, little bit. If this is true, it annoys me a little bit, because Billy Dee should have been at least offered the chance to be involved by now to ask him to do it when Carrie Fisher is no longer available.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Seems a bit of a slight to me.
Mm.
It seems a bit, she's not around, I suppose we could get Lando instead.
Mm. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Maybe Billy Dee was invited to be involved in Force Awakens and he said he didn't want to or he wasn't able to. But the signal it's sending to me is, Carrie's not around, let's get the next best thing, let's get Lando.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think, it makes some sense from a storyline perspective. If you allow for the fact that in the last time we saw him in a cinematic context, now I accept that there may be, I think in fact there are references to him in the sort of ensuing novels, maybe the Wendig stuff. Mm-hmm. I didn't finish them, so I don't know if he turned up in a few places. But I think there are allusions to him going on to sort of, you know, have another project, like a Cloud City style, you know, business enterprise
I could believe that, the character.
Totally. I mean, in the Legends, that's what they did with him. They had him sort of running, you know, the Nikolon gas mining, right? Was it gas mining again?
Yeah, I think so.
Or mineral mining or something. And then he... Did he end up taking over Kessel? No, he didn't, did he?
No, not Kessel.
He took something over like that, didn't he, by the end? I kind of think.
It's not Kessel anymore, who cares?
No, it doesn't matter, yeah. Yeah, it's been a while since I've read him anyway, so.
Yeah, but no, he was certainly around willing to talk with Von War and stuff.
Yeah, he was about, for sure, yeah. But he's, let's say, in the cinematic context, that's the last time we saw him was a rebellion general, so if they kind of, if they've touched on it in the new canon, obviously that restricts them a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do take your point. It does, unless he's kind of consciously turned down the role in previous films. I feel like there was news around that in previous films where he was sort of, he sort of was coming out saying they hadn't asked, or that they had asked and he couldn't do it and he would have loved to, or maybe he was done with doing it or whatever. I don't know. But let's say, I can believe this rumor in terms of, the desire to fill a story hole, because also they've kind of done the whole killing off Akbar thing, which does limit them.
Yeah, there's not many people that, I think like the end of Last Jedi, the Rebel Alliance consists of eight people, two speeders, and a couple of foxes.
Yeah, exactly. I think, did they take the foxes then?
I assume so.
Yeah, it seems fair enough. I mean, they might end up with like ensign ranks just from that. But yeah, I can see that. I could potentially see the logic from a storyline point of view. I get what you're saying about how it does. It feels like a bit of an afterthought. It's like, I guess he'll do.
Yeah, that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, it almost feels like that's the opportunity to develop Poe instead, because that's the kind of the role they've been sort of steering him towards in Last Jedi, is that kind of military leader rather than the sort of hotshot pilot, looking at the bigger picture and stuff. So it seems like he would be better placed to do that stuff. And I read something the other day that said to me there is an opening for them to improve the size of the resistance, because in Last Jedi they mentioned that the signal was received and they verified.
So you're thinking Vong?
No, it's more that the Republic did hear it, but they just didn't get there in time. Or maybe they just need to be sort of coerced or something. So maybe that forms part of Episode 9's story. Or the equivalent of, maybe. Or just
a battle dragon would be lovely to see.
That would be cool. Yeah. It means rewriting the Hapens back into canon.
That's very easily done, I think.
I suppose so.
Here's his planet. Cool.
Yeah, here's his cluster of planets. Done. Yeah. Boom. Ship it. Job done. Shut it down. So yeah, that's the news for this week. There's not a lot. Yeah. Let's say there's not a lot of actual concrete stuff. A lot of it is speculation and rumor and hearsay and fiasco, really.
Yeah,
it's been very much a very weird week like that.
Yeah,
you know. But there you go. Hopefully you've enjoyed our take on those things.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars generally, because I think now we've reached the climax of our show. Oh my. Mm. So thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars. If you've enjoyed the show and you wished and you've come into it for the first time, welcome. If you wish to subscribe on a more permanent basis, we're available on all good podcatchers, including the most recently released Google Podcasts, which I've started using recently and is pretty good. It's functional, but it does the job, which is all you want from a podcatcher, really.
Yep.
And yeah, so there's all these different methods to subscribe to the podcast. You can interact with us on social media by tweeting at Talk Star Wars. There's a Facebook page. There's an email address, podcast@talkstarwars.co.uk. There is an Instagram, Talk Star Wars. Not a lot going on there, but, you know, maybe I can get a chance to change that, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future. Brad, mm-hmm. where can people find you on social media between shows?
You can search for Brad Harmer Barnes on Facebook, on Twitter and Instagram, at RealBradHB, and you can buy my books on Amazon.
You most certainly can, and you can do so using the Amazon widget that's available on the website, which is talkstarwars.co.uk. And you can do that there and pick up Brad's books, and we get a little bit of love for doing so, and everybody wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision, and you can find us both and everything else we do on emotionally14.com, because we both do that too. And you can find podcasts there about other stuff besides Star Wars. I mean, you know, if that's something you're interested in, then there's certainly fun stuff on there.
There's some Star Wars stuff there as well.
There is some Star Wars stuff on there.
Fire When Ready,
which is the YouTube Star Wars Legion series.
Yeah, since your dad's back off holiday, we'll do another one.
Yeah, cool. A little bit of Star Wars Destiny stuff on there, on the YouTube channel and stuff. So that's the E14 YouTube channel, not the Talk Star Wars one. What else is there? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
We played Rebellion.
We did play Rebellion. It was a good game. Yeah. We had a great time. Great time. And there you go. So that's Talk Star Wars. We are part of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network, which is a series of cross-continental Star Wars podcasts ranging from news to reviews to comics to books to video games to saber combat. We've got a take on everything between all the shows we do. They range from 10 minutes to 3 hours, and there's so much. And you go to, if you head to starwarscommonwealth.com or search at SW Commonwealth on Twitter, you can find out about all the shows: Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, The Nerd Room, Rogue Squadron, The Skyhoppers, Tatooine Sons, Less Than 12 Parsecs. I feel like I'm forgetting one, but I don't think I am. Maybe Talk Star Wars is the one I'm thinking of. And you know, those and more, they all have amazing shows. We're proud and thrilled to be part of that network, and you can visit on starwarscommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world. Thank you for listening to Talk Star Wars, and may the Force be with you.